What did they have for town celebrations of Memorial Day, 4th of July?
Well, they used to have 4th of July celebrations. Sometimes it could be put on by the Masons, and sometimes, Tom Fletcher, you've heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one year he had put on a celebration, had it up there. And, they put a bandstand on the park, and they'd have a band that was made up from men from Weybridge and Middlebury and like that.
Did they ever have celebrations with the towns across the lake in your day?
No.
Bert Palmer told us about having joint celebrations, one year in Bridport and one year in Crown Point.
Never heard of that.
Hmm.
It could have been just West Bridport.
Perhaps.
It could have been just the west side of Bridport. They hobnobbed across the lake back and forth there quite a lot more than the village of Bridport did.
West Bridport never came to the village for anything. They never did their trading up there. I mean, what we call West Bridport, down by the ferry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not your section.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Down the Crown Point ferry.
Yeah. But
we had a ferry up there, too.
You had the Wilkinson ferry there. Yeah. You've heard of the Wilkins?
Yeah. Ashley told me once. They wouldn't take anything they couldn't carry.
19.
Health officer had to get after him.
Those team of white horses, beautiful.
But the west, what we called West Bridport, down by the...
Yeah, they used to have a post office down there.
Yeah,
store.
Yeah. And where Ashley's grandfather...
I've seen one.
Bridport never came to the village. The only time you ever saw them at the village was election day. They'd come up and vote. But they never did any trading up there or never came there for anything, you know. They went across the lake.
Oh, well, it was a darn long way, isn't it? It was pretty poor roads.
But it was easier to go across the lake. And they did most of their...
How were the roads in the days when you were younger?
Muddy.
Oh, brother.
I know what you mean. But I...
Clay mud.
Yeah.
And after striking.
And after every rain, you stayed still.
I can remember seeing my husband, and now we weren't too far back, go out and after a day on the road, you know, he was Lister for a number of years, you know, and traveled all day, go out and scrape the mud out between the
spokes
and the wheel before it froze on. And he had a solid wheel.
And then in the summertime, it cracked right open.
I know.
And you drove anywhere between the fences.
Yeah.
Any place that you could...
Except in the winter. Then you drove any place you wanted to.
Any place you could. But with the mud, so on, you know, you'd have to cross a bridge, but then go off on the side of the road and...
Yeah.
Anyway to get there.
Gosh, we did that when I first came to town. After a big snowstorm, we'd take to the fields and pull out to a gate and go across the creek and then pull out into the field. There was a lot less snow out there than there was in the road.
And of course they had no way of plowing the roads.
Roll them.
No.
You never did any rolling?
No. Not back then.
Dad took others and sometimes
shovel.
Yeah.
Well, they used to fix up. I can remember seeing my father put a plow to separate his sledge.
Yeah, and put a wing on.
And put a plow on one corner here.
Yeah. and get a good load of something on the sled to hold it down.
1 year.
And plow roads like that.
Uh-huh. I did never hit that.
Oh, yeah, they had it too. Not,
but there was no organized plowing. I mean, it was only to get to the milk plant or to get to the store or something of that sort.
Everybody pitch in help. Yeah. There was.
I was thinking, but
there was a.
They did at the Masonic Building.
A letter that Bert Palmer had. That a letter to the editor that somebody was railing about the people that were driving cars. And that they here he had worked on the road for years just so that they'd have a decent road, and these whippersnappers come along with an automobile and scare all the horses, and they never paid a cent, they never did an hour's work on the roads, but they thought they owned them.
That's quite an honor.
Well, of course the farmers didn't always live in town. I know when the farmers came to town, they came across the lake.
Yeah, yeah. When was that?
Oh, I was a young girl. I can maybe early 90s.
Early 90s?
Mm-hmm.
That place they lived, that was an old nickel spring. Blind Nickels, they always, that farm where they...
father ran a hardware store.
Where the farmers lived. It's a nickel.
Well, it says Dexter here.
I don't know anything about that.
Now, she's got pictures of that. So, you
know where it's just been torn down last year next to the closed garage right on the 22.
Yeah, right in the, But she's got
he was blind?
Blind Nichols, yes, and, he was a blind man.
I'd be glad to get the copies and pay for them, if you want to get them. But you probably haven't got the negatives.
No, but I've had very good luck.
Well, were you in town at the time the first telephones came in?
She ran it.
Yeah, we want to hear that. That's one of the questions.
Who told you to ask me that?
Wallace Payne. You know, the Paynes had that farm up on the mountain road.
I know where the Paynes live.
Yes.
I know the Lamuses and I know the Paynes. Horace Payne lived over by the Fair Bridge over. That's where the Paynes came from.
Oh, yes.
That is that family of Paynes.
But then this other one was.
And he married Flora Lamus that lived up on the East Street there.
Yeah.
Neighborhood.
Yeah.
Moved up to that place. Hmm? Then he lived up at her place then? That was their farm then? Wallace Payne is descended from a Payne that has been in that East Street or Mountain Road for a good many years.
But that was the Lamus farm.
That was the Lamus farm. I see.
That was his mother's home.
I see. Mm. So you remember when the telephone was put in? Tell us about it. Tell us what you remember.
I wish I could. There are some gaps that I can't.
Always made choice.
I made from
cover. Yeah.
I can't connect.
Yeah.
I don't. There's no one living.
A young
who could help me. I don't think.
And, these are.
Well, there were two men in the west part of Bridgeport. Now I'm talking about on the Lake Road.
Yeah.
I don't. Not your Lake Road, what we call the Lake Road from the village.
So I can get Compton's
down
Crown Point Road.
Well, that was wonderful.
That's what you call it. Yeah.
Down here.
No, that's it. Mm-hmm. Down here, there's the Brooks place. And now it's Selden Walker, and he was a brother of Wade's father.
Augustus Walker.
Gustav.
He was a brother of Gussie.
Gustave and Selden were brothers, and Albert Preble, you know Bert Preble?
Yes.
Very well. He was still kicking around when we were there.
Was that so?
Yeah.
He'd always ask, how is it down at Port Franklin? Is it frozen up yet? We live at Port Franklin.
Well, this Mr. Walker and Mr. Preble, I don't know where they got this idea to start this telephone line. Now they...
I didn't tell you right on this.
It started with 12...
Subscribers?
Subscribers. I suppose they put in a certain amount of money to start the thing going. And now they built a line from the ferry to the village. And there were 12. Now that would be... I can't think of the 12th man. I can't think... All I can think of is 11. There was the man at the... that ran the store at the lake, Bailey. And the two walkers.
That would be Gus Dave and Selden.
And Albert Preble. Now he...
Maybe a Swinton.
No.
Heitman?
No. And Elwin Myrick. Now he was on the Four Corners.
Yeah. You know? I know where it is, yeah. Sunderland lives in now.
Yeah. Elwin Myrick and David Myrick, a little farther along.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Russell, that was after you went up around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Guyard Farm.
Yeah. My father, the two doctors, Dr. Blaisdell, Dr. Townsend, George Solis. Now, I haven't named but 11 of us.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, yes.
But I thought there were 12 men. Maybe I'm wrong.
There was none of the Swintons were there then.
Oh, no.
Nor Stones? How about a Stone?
No, no. They were off the beaten track.
That's right. It had to be somebody on that road.
But...
When was this? When?
Well, it was in the early 90s.
1890 area.
And when we got to Bridport, you know anything about the Foots?
Yeah. In Cornwall, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they had Abe Foot.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Huh?
I know Abe Foot, yeah. I've heard his pedigree quite a number of times.
Well, he's the grandfather of the...
Ralph.
One in Middlebury, the lawyer, yeah. Well, he had a telephone line, and it was a pretty slipshod thing. He would use any kind of wire, if it was barbed wire in it. He'd hitch onto a tree or anything, you know, anything to make it work. And somehow we connected with him. But I can't... There's a place right in there that I can't remember how that connection...
How you got from the Bridport village over to Abe Foots. Well, it could be that Abe Foots came part way, and you just hooked on the end of his line.
Well, how that connection was made, I don't know, but through Abe Foot, we got into Middlebury, you see.
Oh,
and then you could get out.
Yeah, when we got to Middlebury, where, of course, we had, well,
a lot of us
after that, and I can't tell how long, we put trunk line through from Bridport to Middlebury, and we missed a foot. We got through with him. And we had a line of our own into Middlebury. And then, it's some dates I can't remember.
Can you remember?
They wanted to put a line across the lake. As I told you, West Bridport did most of their trading across the lake, and there were very good markets then in Ticonderoga, and Port Henry was an excellent market, and like that. And they did a great deal of business across the lake. So this poor little Champlain telephone company put a cable across the lake. And
from West Bridport? from the post office at West Bridgeport across the lake. Didn't get it wet too far then.
Well, I remember when the cable was sunk.
About when was that? In the early 1900s or before?
No, it was in my day. I remember it. I was there.
Can you tell how old you were then? Would that help to...
Oh, I don't know.
10 years old? 20 years old?
No, I wasn't. I was more than 10, but I wasn't 20.
Oh, about 15 years old then.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, question mark.
No, I wasn't.
You were older than that if you were running the telephone office.
I didn't run it entirely, you know, Harriet.
Yeah.
Harriet Wheeler? She's the same one that wrote that book?
No. Mother had a sister, Harriet.
You probably knew Gertie Colburn then.
Well, yes. Now, I want to know about Gertie Colburn. Is she still...
living? Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, where does she live?
Scott Myrick's in Bristol. The home of Scott Myrick in Bristol. I went over to see her last fall, and I've talked to her on the telephone. She'd be interested to hear about you. I'll have to tell her about you.
Well, Gertie Colburn took over, after I was married. And then Gertie Colburn and the Barrows girls, mm-hmm. You know.
Grace, yeah.
Yeah, Evelyn.
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 I don't know. The Grace.
Or else Louise.
No,
that was a Converse.
Grace Barrows is the only one that I have known much of. And
I guess it's probably
still
Evelyn.
Around.
Yep.
Well,
Grace and Frank.
They could carry on, you know. They know. After the telephone was moved up into the village and like that, when you were
taking care of it, it was down at the lake. It was in West Bridgeport,
or at your home.
Yeah.
At your home, right there in the center.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then, do you know what year it was moved to? Store to Preble's.
Oh yeah.
That's Bradley Houston's house.
Yeah. Now, you look at the wires going into the house. Look at the bunch of wires.
And there's sign. And the sign of the post telephone.
What did it say on that sign? Was that a sign saying telephone office or something?
Champlain Telephone Company, probably.
Is that a sign right there or just a box for the wires?
Oh, it's so you see, there's a pole there. My father took half of the porch and
made a central?
Made an office. And the first switchboard we had was a little, not quite as long as that book, I don't think, maybe a little bit wider. It had drop signals. You know.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I've seen them, but that way, they had them in private telephones long after they went out of existence in public telephones. That they have a switchboard in an office. They'd for five or six buildings. They'd have those kind of drop signals.
Yeah, and it was
crank.
I remember.
Hand crank.
And it was run by...
batteries.
Yeah, wet batteries.
Yeah.
Probably 4 or 5, I don't
know. Yeah.
And then, I don't know how long we used that. That was the first switchboard. And then, of course, they kept enlarging, you know, so the lines kept going out in different directions, more subscribers and all that, and they had to have new switchboard. And that was more modern, you know, it was on kind of a cabinet-like, you know.
That other name wasn't M.T. Wilcott, was it? On that original I understood. I thought I heard him say once that he and Bert Preble were in that original telephone thing.
No.
Bert Preble. Bert was.
MT wasn't.
No.
No.
Now, where does your Mr. Murdoch come in here?
Well, that was Middlebury. No.
Ray?
No. You know anything about Wesley?
J.W., sure.
Yeah.
I know all about him. I've done business with him for 30 years.
Is that so? Well.
He's a kind of an irascible old devil.
Nice words to have on the tape.
What?
I just said it's nice of him to say these things. They're on the tape, but I won't have anybody hear it.
Oh, that's a good word. Yes. Won't anybody know what it means?
Well, Wesley, I've thought of him and wondered if he couldn't help to make some connections there. Because Wesley tended telephone in Middlebury back when he was in high school, and he worked nights in the telephone office. Well, I've spent many a night.
Mother won't talk.
Trying to wake him up?
Just keeping an open line, somebody to talk to, you know, yeah. Some way to spend your time when you weren't busy, you know. And Wesley stayed in the telephone company for a number of years. And he might know something about how.
I said, you're only 97.
How the Bridgeport telephone got hooked in the Middlebury?
Yeah.
I could ask him sometime.
Tell him to write to Mother. He might write to your mother.
Wesley?
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know, how is he anyway?
Very good. I mean, he's still, they moved the business out of the house so that it had a chance to operate as a business, not as a side.
His mind is good.
Oh, his mind is clear as a bell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
Wesley's old. I am not, if not older.
I think he's older, isn't he? He's. I remember 2-3 years ago they had their 60th wedding anniversary, and that dates him pretty well. He was well over 90 at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think he. I know he is.
Well, were there ever any sawmills in Bridgeport?
Yeah.
Where?
In Hutchinson Place?
Yeah. Wait, where's Joe? Right, I got on the wrong road.
Hutchinson is across from Steve Cook's north, where the bridge is burnt.
Oh, yeah.
Bridge is gone.
The old Hutchinson Place. Up here. Come on.
Now, they got the wrong name on there, but you see, that isn't Hutchinson. It should be Hutchinson. Harry? No, Truman Hutchinson.
Oh, with a G in it. Hutchinson.
How do you spell it?
With a G.
Hutchinson. Yeah. I can't tell what that is, but didn't Hutchinson.
That's Hudson. That says Hudson.
Never heard anything.
I've never contacted her.
And his father before him.
And she
has to have a sawmill there.
But that was the only mill? That was about the only mill? Sawmill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know of any other. Not back then. Of course, there were portable mills.
That's a good idea.
Well, we're... a lot of the brick buildings in Bridgeport were built of native brick, made in a brickyard almost opposite that yellow brick house at the North Store area. So they say there was a brickyard up in that against the hill.
You can't learn it all from one person.
And the bricks in the old blacksmith shop came from there. But I tried to find out if the brick house north of the store and the brick house that Solis lives in and the Bennett store, that was a brick building when you were a girl, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How old is that brick building, the store?
The store? I don't know.
Library. No.
That maybe Mary Bennett could tell that. Right. Maybe little she could, if you could.
Little room.
Yeah. If she could find it. She's got these things, but they're all tied up in boxes, and if she could find the box and the place, and she hadn't got much to do now. Maybe I can make her. I can find out.
Well, that store is rapidly going downhill.
I imagine.
And I would like to see the Historical Society get a hold of that store to make a meeting place and a museum.
That would be, I've wondered where you had any idea of having a place.
They were talking about the brick, the old blacksmith shop. But you know.
You mean that one there?
In the center of town.
Yeah.
And but you know, a blacksmith shop is always a blacksmith shop, no matter what you do to it. But that store could be made into a very nice museum and a display place for the things.
And I thought of the blacksmith shop, as you say, quite a job to.
Well, a blacksmith shop has to have a dirt floor. One thing.
Well, that old Bristol, that was the old Bristol.
That was the Bristol blacksmith shop in your day?
Hmm. Waldo Bristol. Now, and he was, the house had been torn down.
Well, I don't know. There's a house across the road that says it owns it. But there's some question as to where was that house. Was it on the south side of the...
Well, you know,
this thing here, it shows as right here, huh? Would it be this one? That would be the blacksmith shop.
Across the road from the blacksmith shop, wasn't it? And there was an
across
old sawmill.
Road.
You know where the Howell house.
The what?
Howell.
No.
Well, I guess they've had a eating place there.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's still there.
Yeah. Well, the old Bristol house was beyond that, right?
Which way?
East.
West? East. East of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's gone now.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wasn't there a mill... of sawmill there?
No.
It was the blacksmith shop then.
Yeah, blacksmith shop.
But I was thinking Elizabeth Micklejohn, when they had the Bridport Lodge, said she had a lot of chips, and her black caps grew there, chips from some mill.
Probably from the blacksmith shop. Hoof trimmings would make a wonderful...
Wagon wheels and all chips.
Well, the last time that was used as a blacksmith shop, they would be just about rotted down by now.
It was east, south of the where the blacksmith shop
Irvin's
is.
Irvin's folks lived there. Did you ever ask him?
Who?
Irvin.
Irvin Fay?
Yeah.
No, I
never have.
Well, ask him about that.
And then it burned.
Hmm?
And it burned. The house burned eventually.
No, tore it down.
Tore it down. Oh.
I think so. I think she did. The woman that owned the place there. Now, you know anything about Irvin's family?
No.
Well, I don't very much. But they came from up West Addison. And I think they lived in that house. You ask Irvin about that blacksmith shop, and course, he can't go way back, but he would tell you about the. As I say, the houses are all old in the village, very old.
Well, was this block of houses up on this road here, were these all Fletchers, or who did they?
Now, where the cream, where the juice factory is that you speak about, where the, up the Fletcher store, that was a Goodwin place, Harriet Goodwin. And the Fletchers were
in the next place.
Yeah. And that was quite a nice place.
And it was called Mountain View Inn at one time.
Oh, yeah, he put up an... Tom Fletcher.
He was out to catch him, huh?
Well, he was public-spirited at times, and but he was kind of a... What is it they call them? Big bag wind or something?
Expansive.
Yeah. Well, there was money in the Fletcher family, but Tom was sort of a spendthrift, and he...
You want this to go down in history?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we have things, but we don't necessarily publish them. We don't probably publish that sort of thing, but, you know, it's just folklore.
You have to take them warts and all, you know.
That Fletcher place that was not all...